You're listening to Streaming Justice live on Youth Express.
This is Sarah Woodside. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a junior at the Ellis School.
This is Prerna Chekingle. I'm 16 years old, and I am a junior at South Fayette High School.
This is Mackenzie. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Oakland Catholic.
Hi, this is Elaine. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at Shadyside Academy.
Today, we will be discussing the significance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the education surrounding Martin Luther King Jr. Day, social media's role in activism today, and how we can and do continue Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy.
I think when we talk about Martin Luther King Jr., it's really important to talk about why he's celebrated and why he is who he is.
I mean, MLK Day is a very important day, and I think that Martin Luther King showed a lot of people that you can stand up for what you believe for and you can make change regardless of any type of backlash or hate that you get from it.
The way he showed us that we could stand up for ourselves in a peaceful way was very, like, influential, even to, like, present-day speaking.
He was really talented at mobilizing people, and I think about, like, today and how easy it is to do that and how much talent had to go into doing that and organizing these protests, and it's just really amazing.
Nowadays, he is a very significant part of how we define American ideals and American principles. He kind of like spread the message that like we cannot be bystanders in certain situations. Being a bystander is being a perpetrator, as well as like saying that, yes, we must follow the laws, we must follow the just laws, but if there are non-just laws out there, it is our responsibility to stand up and to recreate them.
Yeah, and he did this with his non-violence ideals, which is what I think is amazing, you know, those bus boycotts and all those protests and the civil rights movement was done in such a non-violent way, and I think that's what makes him such an inspirational leader.
One of the most significant parts of his legacy is we seeing nonviolent protests, and like he was inspired by Gandhi, and I think it's interesting to see how he was inspired and he used that to continue the ideals of nonviolent protests. But like nowadays we see it everywhere, and I feel like if you get enough people and you're united, you can really do anything.
And I like what you said on like how we see it everywhere. So it's a lot easier to spread that message, and it's a lot easier to stand up and say when something is unjust or something doesn't feel right. But like it's always important to keep in mind how Martin Luther King Jr. did this during a segregated time period where no one was interested in learning about the unjust of segregation, and but just the persistence that he had and that he carried through really shows, and I think that's really motivational as well.
And I like the way you brought up his persistence, because even though like his house was getting bombed and he was getting threats and his kids were getting threats, he continued to like push on and not let that bother him, and he still like continued on in a peaceful way without like responding back as they were responding to him.
I also think evolving like his persistence, like also his upbringing and like his confidence that he gained. I mean, he went to church, you know, he was in a religious type of family, and I think that being able to speak at church and like in front of a huge crowd really helped him when it came to speak out in more public matters and more things involving more significance, I think is very important. He wasn't really afraid to say what he wanted to say, and he said it in a very clear, constructive way, and I think that's very important as well.
His background in the church and being able to have that impact on people with his words. And I think of, there's so many amazing speeches and letters, and he was really one of the greatest speakers of the 20th century because his words had so much impact on people. People were listening and reading and consuming this, and it stuck with them.
Yeah, and I totally like what you said. You know, it's one thing to write something down and have other people read it, but say it with that same type of conviction, being able to touch people's hearts just through his words. I think he really had a way with his words. He was a great public speaker. So I know like a lot of speakers today still look up to him because of his talent of public speaking and just his ideals, what he had to put out there, especially during the 1960s, which was really a difficult time period.
Exactly. There was so much disparity, and like just the importance of it, it bridged populations that were segregated. And I'm a big believer in communication and working and collaborating with diverse individuals around the world. I'm like really into like international virtual exchange programs as well. And I look up to Dr. King as a role model because he was able to bridge those gaps. And you don't get that experience. You don't get new ideas. You don't get invention without bringing in something new. And that's why we need more diversity in our educational settings, because without this discussion, without meeting people who grew up in different places with different backgrounds, with different experiences, you don't get to produce something new and helpful, and you don't get to make something that is actually accessible and useful for populations all around the world and underserved populations.
Yeah, something that was really important about Martin Luther King Jr. was his ability to reach so many people, because it wasn't just people in America, it was people worldwide, and it inspired all different kinds of movements which came after the civil rights movement.
Yeah, because if we think like broader historical context during that time, there was also immigration reform, and this was like following World War II. And it's just, as a biracial woman, and I'm half white and half Asian, he really sets an example for me, because I see the civil rights movement, it led to so many benefits, so many different motivations. It inspired so much for so many underserved immigrant populations, Asian populations, Hispanic population in America at that time. And we can give credit to Dr. King for this. I just like respect him so much, because without him, America wouldn't be, we wouldn't be where we are today, with like not just in the Black community, but other minority communities as well.
People think like the significance of this holiday is just for Blacks, when in reality it's for everybody. Like, he opened up doors for a lot of people, a lot of races, to like find themselves and stand up to unjust protocols and everything like that.
His message was about unity, you know. It wasn't just about one race, what he was focusing on. It was all the races coming together to build a stronger nation. And that's what makes it even more inspiring, is that his ideals were just so
universal.
Yeah, universal. And I think it's really hard for someone at that time period to be so progressive in his ideals and just the way he conducted himself, I think.
Maybe that's why he had such an impact, especially like at first in America, because like there's so many different kinds of people and backgrounds, and he was able to really impact Americans and like the world. I feel like he started in America, but it reached every corner of this earth.
I agree. I think he set a lot of social standards just for everyone, again, like not just Black people. I think that he put down a lot of pillars and foundations to show that, like, again, you can say what you want to say and say it with confidence, and you shouldn't be afraid of it.
Yeah, and we call this like a day of service, right? So like, it's really a day for us to really just do our own little thing, to try to help our local communities. Yeah, and that's part of his message as well, just to like do your own part and try to make some good in this world.
The song you just heard was Woodward Avenue by late Grammy winner Yusuf Lateef from his 1969 album Yusuf Lateef's Detroit Latitude 4230, Longitude 83. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, with Sarah Woodside,
Elaine Gombos,
Prerna Chekingle,
Mackenzie Morrison,
and Kaya Gray.
Jumping back into the segment about MLK Day, I'm really interested on what you guys have to say about like the education and how MLK Day plays into our education.
I feel like in the school, I feel like the main thing we always talk about is more or less that I Have a Dream speech. And I feel like that day should be like way more than just a speech, because Martin Luther King did way more than just a speech.
I agree with that. I think we hear more of his public life and more of his speeches, and like we don't hear much about the organizations and the civil rights movement that he started and things like that.
There's a lot that's left out from what we hear in school, and I just think like every single time that we start talking about MLK Day and MLK in general, we just talk about like I Have a Dream. Like we hear or read like a small portion of it, and we don't really get into the full expanding reach of who he was and his legacy.
We kind of hear more about it from when we were younger, you know, in elementary school. Like we do a lot of activities about MLK Day, but it kind of dies down once we get older, and I think it should carry out throughout high school and post-secondary education and even throughout work. Some companies still have work that they need to attend and they don't have off. And I know for my example, like my mom has off, but my dad still has to go to work. And I think this causes like no appreciation or even reflection for this certain day. And I think just taking a day off can do a lot.
I feel like there's so much you can do with a day off to help others. Like there, I know a lot of schools and organizations do special drives and things for MLK Day. I think the fact that some people don't get that day off kind of takes away from why this day is so important.
I totally agree. I think the lack of knowledge and like thereof just knowing MLK more in a personal standpoint is really missed in schools. Kind of just going back to like I Have a Dream speech. I mean, I've did that pretty much like every year in elementary school. I would like write, oh yeah, like I have a dream speech and like more like my morals and like reflection on me. But I think that a lot of people kind of miss or just misunderstood like the in-depth about Martin Luther King and like why he is so significant and like not only for Black people but for every race as well. And I think that people need to know more about that to kind of get a better understanding and a little bit more inclusive of like who he really is as a person.
I think there's something to say about like how we are taught about it versus how our parents would have been taught about it. You know, my parents were both born in 1969. That's a year after his death. I think what are people taught about something that just happened? Today, we're a lot more well-informed, but I feel like a lot of what we know is stuff we've went out and ventured for ourselves.
Personally, I feel like history class is kind of the standard place where you would learn about this stuff. But, you know, like a lot of history curricula are whitewashed. And personally, last year, I took U.S. history last year, and we had a really good teacher who like actually did an entire unit on civil rights. And we like really delved in depth into all kind of checks and balances and all the things that people and leaders had to take into consideration and all the different perspectives as well that was happening during that time. But again, because I attend a predominantly white institution, we have all our history teachers, none of our history teachers are people of color. And most of the time, like, you learn about Martin Luther King Jr. Day and you go in and maybe they like play a documentary or watch a video. There is nobody in our institution who are in a position of power who can speak from the I perspective. Like, if they don't want to do it themselves, they're showing somebody else who can speak from their own perspective and speak from their own experiences. But I think what I need and what I look for are like adults and educators who can speak from that perspective. Kind of going back to what I first started with, this is a day that shouldn't only exist in history class. Like, this is something that impacts our day-to-day lives, and thus it's a part of all of our classes, and it's kind of like a whole school movement. It's not like a holiday in that sense, and like a traditional, like, let's celebrate, and it happens once a year, and then after it's over, it's over. But it should kind of be more integrated into our like everyday curricula, and we do need people and educators in power who can speak from personal experience.
I definitely agree with that. Coming again, also me as well, and I think Kai can also vouch, like we do come from a predominantly white school. And so therefore, again, like the lack of knowledge that people are providing us about not even just like MLK Day or like, oh, Rosa Parks or like kind of like the more pillars of the Black history community, just like normal everyday type of things. Like, I mean, really the only thing I've ever learned about is slavery, which again is something that is of significance and should be talked about and is very important. But like, we've come so far from things that have happened back in like the 1800s. Like, there's so much more than that. And I feel like teachers kind of have a trouble with kind of going beyond that and kind of like getting out of their comfort zone because they're not in our shoes. So they can't really speak so much about other people and like how their struggles are, because they don't want to, I guess, like step on toes. But I also think that it's important for them to be educated in a sense so that they can educate us. So I think that it is very important to like know, okay, like this is MLK Day. What's behind that? Let's kind of open the doors more to something more in depth, and like let's go into more his personal life, why he wanted to start this. You know, was it something that happened to him personally or like a family member that showed, okay, like I need to stand up for like what I think is right? And I think that's very important.
Back to what you were saying with the they're not in our shoes, I feel like most teachers in like predominantly white schools and like white institutions, they're scared about the sensitivity level, that people are going to feel a type of way if they say one thing, and somebody's going to make like a complaint if they say the other thing. In high school and like beyond that, I feel like students should be able to like have the maturity level to be able to talk about these things without getting sensitive about it or feeling some type of way about it or the way something's said. And if anything, since we are in those shoes, we could like educate the teachers so that they have something moving forward to like base off of.
Yeah, I think it's like a problem across the board where like a lot of educational institutions are focusing on diversifying their student body, but their faculty are not following along. So like we get in situations, like personally, I am kind of in the depth of working to organize the Lunar New Year Assembly coming up next week. And because we don't have the faculty who can speak from the I perspective and help with that, the weight all falls on the students' shoulders, on the students who identify as East Asian, so or are like part of our Asian Student Union and are willing to help. So I feel like that's definitely a problem where, like, at least like in my circumstance right now, I am trying to balance my schoolwork with celebrating at home and with like all my extracurriculars on top of that, while also trying to entertain and educate the entire student body. Yeah, so it's definitely a lot. We need kind of adults in power who can support us in that way and can like put in that work so that like our diverse student body is mirrored in the people who are teaching us.
I feel like I see the same thing at my school. I feel like there's a deep need for a change in curriculum. I always see like students have to do like presentations about stuff because teachers don't have the knowledge. And I think that's something that we really need to look into. I think our generation especially is really helping to make progress in schools and curriculum surrounding civil rights and other things like that.
Yeah, and I think we can do that by stopping to look at things so superficially. And I think we can do that not focusing on like the public life of Martin Luther King, but more on going into depth in his personal life. And I think that's how we can like better our education systems and talk about what's really important in today's day and age. With that said, that wraps up our segment of education for MLK Day. Next up, we have a song coming up.
Yes, this is I Was Here by Beyoncé.
The song you just heard was Pink and White by Frank Ocean, released in 2016 on the album Blonde. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, with Mackenzie Morrison,
Prerna Chuckingle,
Kaya Gray,
Sarah Woodside,
and Elaine Gombos.
With the expansion of social media, more people are informed about the inequalities and injustices of the world than ever before. How do you think social media has changed the fight for equality and justice?
I think with social media, it's a lot easier to build awareness and spread information about a certain event or any fundraisers that you're hosting used the right way. Social media can do wonders.
I'd also like to add that, like, there is a huge young population on social media, so like people our age, it really gives us the platform to start activism early and to show our adults that like, hey, don't just take us for our age. We have this power. Like, we can reach out to others and this is something that is like available worldwide. So personally, I'm involved in a lot of international virtual exchange. So I have friends from like all over the world, and what I've learned so much from them. And it's just awesome because I'm learning about, you know, for example, our foreign language curriculum in the United States. In most schools, oftentimes, there's not a lot of emphasis put on that. But like, there are other schools in different countries around the world that this is an actual core class. And I've met students who are fluent in English, even though that's not their native language, just from learning it in school. I don't know if any of you can say you are fluent in the language that you're just learning in school. So it really opens like and expands your horizons through social media. I've made so many friends that I will probably never meet in person, but we make like connections that are just as strong. We really help each other. When I want to do a project, I'd be like, hey, I'd like call them up and be like, can you help me do some research? Can you come speak to my school community? And like, it really happens, and it's all through social media, and it's all youth led as well.
Yeah, with it being MLK Day, I think about the power of social media and its ability to mobilize people for a cause, and how impactful it would have been on something like the civil rights movement, and how we have so much power at our fingertips nowadays that people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't have. And I think it really highlights his influence on people to be able to get these marches and protests, and how we have the ability to do that today so easily.
There's always pros and cons to everything you do, right? But I think that a lot of time people tend to focus more on the cons of social media, so the pros. I mean, with social media, there's so much awareness that can be brought to so many different topics. And I think that MLK is one of the things that can be spread out and have awareness of. I think that social media is just a really great platform if you want to share your opinions and share your voice, not more so in a negative way, but also in a positive way as well. If you're scrolling through TikTok or like your Instagram feed, like you're going to see something that is going to like kind of spark a light bulb, I guess, inside of you and like make you want to go out and do more for your community. And I think that's very, very important because, I mean, at the civil rights movement time, there wasn't really a whole lot of that because there was no social media. And I think that as technology and social media evolve, more people are going to be able to engage. And I think that that's going to change the way that our country and nation move.
Because social media is really just a giant network which reaches all of us. You know, it's like a giant newspaper, but you don't have to wait for things to get printed in the morning. You don't have to wait for things to get approved. You really see real life, and you see other people unlike I think anyone could have ever dreamed of like 50 or so years ago.
Building on that, what you said about approval and like newspapers, right? On social media, pretty much anybody can make an account. So it really like democratizes who is speaking and the information that can get out. Well, now I'm listening to myself say that. And of course, we have like huge issues with tech monopolies and things like that. But that's another can of worms. For the most part, like we can now post something and have that be read by other people. Whereas like in the days where like we had people who are mostly part of the dominant culture, white cis males, in charge of newspapers and in charge of information, and they're the ones doing the approving. So the fact that Dr. King could have kind of broken that cycle of like continuous power, that is just incredible. And with the technology we have today, like I feel like we have the responsibility to at least try to achieve so much more.
Social media allows us to be so expressive, and so like we're able to share our viewpoints and our ideals and what we believe in without fearing any backlash. And I think that's what makes it so special. And you're going to find someone that relates to you, whether you know them or not, whether you know them personally or you know them through an indirect friend. I think it's really cool how you can socially network and make more connections just from social media.
I also think that social media can be used as kind of like a sub for the lack of knowledge and education that we get from our teachers who may not, again, like are not in our shoes, right? So I think that if you're scrolling through your Instagram feed and you see something that relates to you and gives you a good background of it and gives you the actual knowledge, you can then take that and then bring it into a classroom setting. And you can kind of engage with your teacher like, hey, like I know you may not know this much about whatever topic, but I saw this from a really good website or I saw this from a really good Instagram page, and I think that this is something that we can use inside the classroom. So again, like, I don't think that social media is always like the best thing, but I also think that it's something that can connect everyone together, and I think that's very, very significant for the culture that we live in today.
Like, the internet in general is just so powerful a tool in social justice and the world in general. My dad always says, well, why don't you look it up on your pocket supercomputer? And, you know, we can do that. You know, if there's anything we want to know, we can find it. And I think that's something that's so impactful about, you know, in education, there are missing puzzle pieces that we don't get. We don't get full stories all the time. And so we have the access to go out and learn those things for ourselves.
Yeah, I do also want to mention, like, on the topic of like cons of social media, I do feel like with like globalization happening, one of my friends who lives in Algeria right now was talking about how like really trends set by American pop culture, like that really spreads. It kind of feels like American trends seems to sometimes even overpower local traditions or local practices. So like that is a danger of globalization in general and social media as well, is that like, you know, the people in power will continue getting more power, or the cultures in power will continue. But then again, you have like social media is also a place where minority cultures and stories and traditions can be highlighted and can be known by more people. So it's definitely a double-edged sword. I mean, I use it a lot, and it has definitely brought me a lot of like just happiness, you know, and a lot of knowledge as well.
You know, I definitely agree with that. I think that sometimes social media can be used, like taken to advantage, I guess you can say. If you see a TikTok about, you know, something from that's not part of your culture, like, granted, yes, like I am Black, but if I see something that's part of an Asian culture or an Hispanic culture, I think sometimes people tend to like take little aspects of that and try to like apply it to their own, which isn't always okay. And I think that that's why it can become offensive. And then there is like the uproar of like disagreements and arguments between so many minorities because of that. So I think that in that sense, social media is used in more of a negative light, but also a positive light, because then we're shedding light on the situation and we can kind of show people like, this isn't okay and this is okay. So I don't know, like kind of back and forth, like it can be a pro and a con. So
yeah, it allows for that discourse,
yeah,
which we might not have in person.
People might not know about so many important things until they're way older because they don't have access. But nowadays, really young kids have access to social media. So people are learning faster at a younger age than ever before, which it can be good, it can be bad, depending on what the thing is. But I think in terms of civil rights and justice, I think it's so amazing how people have been able to learn and change and how it's really had an impact on so many people.
With that said, our next segment is a music segment, and it is Happy Birthday by Stevie Wonder, recorded in 1981. This song was made to encourage the passing of a national holiday for MLK in 1981. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. With Prerna Chuckingle,
Mackenzie Morrison,
Kaya Gray,
Sarah Woodside,
and Elaine Gombos.
Before we jump into our next talk segment, I just want to talk a little bit more about the Happy Birthday song that we just heard. It was created in 1981, as Prerna said, to get support for the passing of the MLK Day. MLK Day was first observed on January 20th, but of 1986. So it shows how long it took to get that holiday, which is kind of amazing how long it took, and kind of sad. But if you look into the first lyrics of the song, you see Stevie Wonder really putting a lot of passion behind his cause, saying, you know, it doesn't make much sense. There ought to be a law against anyone who takes offense at a day in your celebration, because we all know in our minds that there ought to be a time that we set aside to show just how much we love you. And I'm sure you would agree, what could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be?
I think that's really, really cool. Okay, so going into our next talk segment, just about our own personal involvement, right? So we've been talking about MLK and like what he has done for the community, what he's done for the world. I think now is a good time to kind of dive into what we have done and like what we can continue to do moving forward, especially through the power of social media and through our education. As far as for me, I have been joined into a group called OC PAC at my school. It was started by Morgan McCray, and it was just formed to show that we do have voices and we can help our students who are also in our school as well. So we kind of sit down with the council. It's like two juniors, two freshmen, two seniors, and then two sophomores. Sometimes it can be more just depending on like what the day is. But we sit down at least once a month and we kind of just talk about the social norms that are happening in our school and how we can kind of change them for the better. We talk about a lot of racial inequality or just standpoints about like more inclusiveness of like in the school, like at the lunch table or in the classroom. Again, like going back to like the lack of knowledge and education with the faculty members, like how we can kind of include them more into our culture and like give them better standpoints and points of views and perspectives. And so I think the OC PAC really did kind of push Oakland Catholic into a better direction just as far as more diversity, because really we do have a really pretty good diverse school. I don't really know, like, I guess percentages wise, but there's a good population of Black people. There's a good population of mixed people. There's a really good population of Asian people, and I think that is very important to kind of have them included, because this is where you're spending your next 4 years at, right? So you want to make sure that it's comfortable enough for everyone, and I think that the OC PAC kind of provides that. And it's also student body led, so it's not like an authoritative role is coming in and like telling you like, okay, no, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It's like student body, so it's definitely a bit more inclusive, which I really like.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And the way you say, like, it's student-led, because many students, like, they'll be scared to go to a main authority or anything like that. So I feel like it's more comfortable to go to somebody that, like, you might know or is in your grade or that you're just comfortable with in general.
Yeah, at our school at Shadyside, I feel like a lot of diversity work, we do have a director of, like, communications and diversity, and she is the best. I actually work with her on my independent study, which is about a cause that like is really close to my heart. It's about like mixed race activism. So I've done a few things with that. I'm trying to establish kind of a platform for mixed race youth all around the world, because I feel like growing up, being mixed race is not something that a lot of mixed race people outwardly express or show. So it's really interesting to seek out each other, and sometimes like your best friend might be mixed race, but if you never talk about it, you never know. So I grew up in China. I'm like with my sister, and we were kind of like the two outliers. We went to international school, though, so it was like a very diverse student population. But coming here, I found that I feel like in the U.S., there is a very quite rigid monoracial framework set up. Checking multiple boxes on the U.S. Census was not allowed until the year 2000. Like that was 5 years before I was born. Loving v. Virginia, which was like the court case that legalized mixed race marriage, like that didn't happen until like the 1960s, I think. Mixed race people have existed since you have the one drop rule, trying to erase mixed race heritage and trying to establish like these rigid racial categories. We have so many interests and we kind of mix so many cultures. I'm president of Asian Student Union as well, so I really enjoy collaborating with other affinity groups, and I love other advocacy groups, like in mental health or other political organizations, to really just come together and have those conversations, because I feel like that mix, that intersection, is like where we all individually uniquely sit at, and being able to have these conversations and do these like surveys and things like that, it sheds light on like the situation we are at today and also how we can move forward. So that's kind of what's happening at our school.
Yeah, at my school at Ellis, every single year we have a day called Culture Jam where we invite different schools from the Pittsburgh area. I know we had Winchester, I think from Shadyside, we had people from South Fayette, and we all come together and do student-led workshops about different things. I went to one about South Asian representation in media and one about banning books and how we really, really had to talk with other people to get experiences. And this year's theme was self-advocacy. I think in everything we've talked about in this segment, I think self-advocacy is something that really connects everything. To be able to speak up for yourself and for other people in your community, how important that is.
Yeah, I think in South Fayette, it's really important. And like you, I think you said, celebrating that diversity. We have Culture Day where, you know, we welcome students of high school to wear attire from their culture. And I think that really celebrates and you get to learn more about other people's culture and get to know more about their background and who they are. And I think it allows you to get away from that superficial side of getting to know someone. And it's a lot more rooted, a lot more connected, and which is what I really like.